In the opening verses of Romans chapter 9, Paul says, with great sorrow and grief in his heart, that he would be willing to give up his own salvation in Christ if it would bring his countrymen, his fellow Jews, into salvation in Christ. And then he talks about who the Israelites are concerning the adoption, the glory, the covenants that were given to Israel, the people, the giving of the law, the service of God, and the promises, of whom are the fathers and from whom, according to the flesh, Christ came, who is over all. So he's going to unpack for some very, very important principles in Romans chapter 9, 10, and 11. The question is, how do we become a member of the household or the family of God? In the Old Covenant, the first covenant that was given at Mount Sinai through Moses, basically, if you were ethnically part of Israel by descent through Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, then you were automatically a member of God's household if you were an ethnic Israelite. But now the rules for God's household have changed. Now there's a new covenant. And to become a member of God's household, it is now opened up to Gentiles, that is, anyone who is not Jewish. Everybody else, all the nations, are invited and can have access and become a member of the household of God. How? Not by obeying the law of Moses, the law, the Torah that was given at Mount Sinai, but in the new house, in the new household rules, now anyone can become a member through faith in Jesus Christ. Listen in as we unpack Romans 9, 10, and 11 and look at Israel, the Jews, the Gentiles, and being a part of God's household. Welcome to the 1 Year Audio Bible Podcast. Today is July 25th. Now let's continue our journey reading through the entire Bible in 1 year. This week we are reading from the Israel Bible for the Old Testament and from the King James for the New Testament. Numbers 29:21-29:40. The meal offerings and libations for the bulls, rams, and lambs in the quantities prescribed, and one goat for a sin offering in addition to the regular burnt offering, its meal offering, and libation. Fourth day, 10 bulls, 2 rams, 14 yearling lambs without blemish. The meal offerings and libations for the bulls, rams, and lambs in the quantities prescribed, and one goat for a sin offering, in addition to the regular burnt offering, its meal offering, and libation. Fifth day, 9 bulls, 2 rams, 14 yearling lambs without blemish. The meal offerings and libations for the bulls, rams, and lambs in the quantities prescribed, and one goat for a sin offering, in addition to the regular burnt offering, its meal offering, and libation. Sixth day, 8 bulls, 2 rams, 14 yearling lambs without blemish. The meal offerings and libations for the bulls, rams, and lambs in the quantities prescribed, and one goat for a sin offering, in addition to the regular burnt offering, its meal offering, and libations. Seventh day, 7 bulls, 2 rams, 14 yearling lambs without blemish. The meal offerings and libations for the bulls, rams, and lambs in the quantities prescribed, and one goat for a sin offering, in addition to the regular burnt offering, its meal offering, and libation. On the eighth day, you shall hold a solemn gathering. You shall not work at your occupations. You shall present a burnt offering, an offering by fire of pleasing odor to Hashem, one bull, one ram, 7 yearling lambs without blemish, the meal offerings and libations for the bull, the ram, and the lambs in the quantities prescribed, and one goat for a sin offering, in addition to the regular burnt offering, its meal offering, and libation. All these you shall offer to Hashem at the stated times, in addition to your votive and freewill offerings, be they burnt offerings and meal offerings, libations, or offerings of well-being. So Moses spoke to the Israelites, just as Hashem had commanded Moses. Second Chronicles 14:1-16:14. Asa did what was good and pleasing to Hashem, his God. He abolished the alien altars and shrines. He smashed the pillars and cut down the sacred posts. He ordered Judah to turn to God of their fathers and to observe the teaching and the commandment. He abolished the shrines and the incense stands throughout the cities of Judah, and the kingdom was untroubled under him. He built fortified towns in Judah, since the land was untroubled, and he was not engaged in warfare during those years, for Hashem had granted him respite. He said to Judah, "Let us build up these cities and surround them with walls and towers and gates and bars, while the land is at our disposal, because we turned to Hashem our God. We turned to him, and he gave us respite on all sides." They were successful in their building. Asa had an army of 300,000 men from Judah bearing shields and spears, and 280,000 from Benjamin bearing bucklers and drawing the bow. All these were valiant men. Zerah the Cushite marched out against them with an army of 1,000 and 300 chariots. When he reached Merasha, Asa confronted him, and the battle lines were drawn in the valley of Zephath by Merasha. Asa called to Hashem his God and said, "Hashem, it is all the same to you to help the numerous and the powerless. Help us, Hashem, our God, for we rely on you, and in your name we have come against this great multitude. You are Hashem, our God. Let no mortal hinder you." So Hashem routed the Cushites before Asa and Judah, and the Cushites fled. Asa and the army with him pursued them as far as Gerar. Many of the Cushites fell wounded beyond recovery, for they broke before Hashem and his camp. Very much spoil was taken. All the cities in the vicinity of Gerar were ravaged, where terror of Hashem seized them. All the cities were plundered, and they yielded much booty. They also ravaged the encampment of herdsmen, capturing much sheep and camels. Then they returned to Jerusalem. The spirit of Hashem came upon Azariah, son of Oded. He came to Asa and said to him, "Listen to me, Asa, and all Judah and Benjamin. Hashem is with you as long as you are with him. If you turn to him, he will respond to you. But if you forsake him, he will forsake you. Israel has gone many days without the true Hashem, without a Kohen to give instruction and without teaching. But in distress, it returned to God of Israel and sought him, and he responded to them. At those times, no wayfarer was safe, for there was much tumult among all the inhabitants of the lands. Nation was crushed by nation and city by city, for Hashem threw them into panic with every kind of trouble. As for you, be strong. Do not be disheartened, for there is reward for your labor." When Asa heard these words, the prophecy of Oded the Navi, he took courage and removed the abominations from the entire land of Judah and Benjamin, and from the cities that he had captured in the hill country of Ephraim. He restored the altar of Hashem in front of the porch of Hashem. He assembled all the people of Judah and Benjamin, and those people of Ephraim, Manasseh, and Simon, who sojourned among them. For many in Israel had thrown in their lot with him when they saw that Hashem his God was with him. They were assembled in Jerusalem in the third month of the 15th year of the reign of Asa. They brought sacrifices to Hashem on that day. They brought 700 oxen and 7,000 sheep of the spoil. They entered into a covenant to worship God of their fathers with all their heart and with all their soul. Whoever would not worship God of Israel would be put to death, whether small or great, whether man or woman. So they took an oath to Hashem in a loud voice and with shouts, with trumpeting and blasts of the shofar. All Judah rejoiced over the oath, for they swore with all their heart and sought him with all their will. He responded to them and gave them respite on every side. He also deposed Maacah, mother of King Asa, from the rank of queen mother, because she had made an abominable thing for the goddess of Asherah. Asa cut down her abominable thing, reduced it to dust, and burned it in the Wadi Kidron. The shrines indeed were not abolished in Israel. However, Asa was wholehearted with Hashem all his life. He brought into the house of Hashem the things that he and his father had consecrated, silver, gold, and utensils. There was no war until the 35th year of the reign of Asa. In the 36th year of the reign of Asa, King Baasha of Israel marched against Judah and built up Ramah to block all movement of King Asa of Judah. Asa took all the silver and gold from the treasuries of the house of Hashem and the royal palace and sent them to King Ben-Hadad of Aram, who resided in Damascus, with this message: "There is a pact between me and you, as there was between my father and your father. I herewith send you silver and gold. Go and break your pact with King Baasha of Israel, so that he may withdraw from me." Ben-Hadad acceded to King Asa's request. He sent his army commanders against the towns of Israel and ravaged Ijon, Dan, Abel-Maim, and all the garrison towns of Naphtali. When Baasha heard about it, he stopped building up Ramah and put an end to the work on it. Then King Asa mustered all Judah, and they carried away the stones and timber with which Baasha had built up Ramah. With these, King Asa built up Geba and Mizpah. At that time, Hanani the seer came to King Asa of Judah and said to him, "Because you relied on the king of Aram and did not rely on Hashem, your God, therefore, the army of the king of Aram has slipped out of your hands. The Cushites and Libyans were a mighty army with chariots and horsemen in very great numbers. Yet because you relied on Hashem, he delivered them into your hands. For the eyes of Hashem range over the entire earth to give support to those who are wholeheartedly with him. You have acted foolishly in this matter, and henceforth you will be beset by wars." Asa was vexed at the seer and put him into the stocks, for he was furious with him because of that. Asa inflicted cruelties on some of the people at that time. The acts of Asa, early and late, are recorded in the annals of the kings of Judah and Israel. In the 39th year of his reign, Asa suffered from an acute foot ailment. But ill as he was, he still did not turn to Hashem, but to physicians. Asa slept with his fathers. He died in the 41st year of his reign and was buried in the grave that he had made for himself in the city of David. He was laid in his resting place, which was filled with spices of all kinds, expertly blended. A very great fire was made in his honor. Romans 9:1-21. I, Paul, say the truth in Christ. I lie not, my conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost, that I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart. For I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen according to the flesh, who are Israelites, to whom pertains the adoption, and the glory, and the covenants, and the giving of the law, and the service of God, and the promises, whose are the fathers, and of whom, as concerning the flesh, Christ came, who is over all, God blessed forever. Amen. Not as though the word of God has taken no effect, for they are not all Israel, which are Israel. Neither, because they are the seed of Abraham, are they all children, but in Isaac shall your seed be called. That is, they which are the children of the flesh, these are not the children of God, but the children of the promise are counted for the seed. For this is the word of promise: at this time will I come, and Sarah shall have a son. And not only this, but when Rebekah also had conceived by one, even by her father Isaac. For the children being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand, not of works, but of him that calls. It was said to her, "The elder shall serve the younger." As it is written, "Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated." What shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with God? God forbid. For he said to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. So then, it is not of him that wills, nor of him that runs, but of God that shows mercy. For the scripture says to Pharaoh, even for this same purpose have I raised you up, that I might show my power in you, and that my name might be declared throughout all the earth. Therefore, has he mercy on whom he will have mercy, and whom he will he hardens. You will say then to me, why does he yet find fault? For who has resisted his will? Nay, but, O man, who are you that replies against God? Shall the thing that formed say to him that formed it, why have you made me thus? Has not the potter power over the clay of the same lump to make one vessel to honor and another to dishonor? Psalm 19:1-14. The heavens declare the glory of God. The firmament shows his handiwork. Day to day utters speech, and night to night shows knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line is gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them has he set a tabernacle for the sun, which is as a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, and rejoices as a strong man to run a race. His going forth is from the end of the heaven, and his circuit unto the ends of it, and there is nothing hidden from the heat thereof. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yes, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is your servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward. Who can understand his errors? Cleanse me from my secret faults. Keep back your servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me, then shall I be upright, and I shall be innocent from the great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer. Proverbs 20:1. Wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging, and whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. I want to speak to you today from our reading from Romans chapter 9. And first of all, the next few chapters in Romans, Romans 9, 10, and 11, really explain much and reveal much to us about Israel. And first of all, Paul tells us he himself is an Israelite. He uses the word Israelite and Jew interchangeably, that he is Jewish. He's of the tribe of Benjamin. And he goes on to say, if I could give up my own salvation in order for my brethren, that is the Jews, to come to know Christ, I would give up my salvation. He has great heaviness in his heart and continual sorrow in his heart, because so many of the Jews at his time were rejecting salvation through Christ. Now, he talks about who the Israelites are, the nation of Israel, and that they were under the covenant, the first covenant that was given at Mount Sinai, the giving of the law. They were under Moses. They were given the service of God through the Kohanim, the Levite priesthood, and that the promises came from God to Abraham and through his children, that Abraham's seed would be more numerous than all the stars in the sky and more numerous than all the sand on the seashore. And so we owe a tremendous debt to the Jewish people. 99% of the Bible, both Old Testament and New Testament, were written by Jews. They faithfully scribed and meticulously copied the scriptures, and so they have given us the Bible. They have also given us a Jewish Messiah, Jesus, who is of the line from the tribe of Judah. And so they are a special, set apart, chosen people. God calls them a special, treasured possession and a peculiar people, a nation of priesthoods. But Paul goes on to say the Jews, they're chosen, the nation of Israel. It's a chosen, set apart nation. So there's a nation called Israel, there's a land called Israel, and there's a people called Israel, and there's a man whose name was originally Jacob, but his name changes to Israel. So when I speak of Israel here in this chapter, I'm speaking of those who are ethnically Israel. They are of the lineal descent, genealogical descent from Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, whose name was changed to Israel. But Paul goes on to say, not as though the word of God has taken no effect, for they are not all Israel which are of Israel. What does he mean by that? Not all are Israel which are of Israel. Well, God's household is called the house of Israel. It's family language, it's family talk, that you become members of God's household. And he chose the nation of Israel at Mount Sinai, the ancient nation of Israel. And you were a member of the house of Israel ethnically by genealogical descent. But there's been a change in God's household, a change in the rules. And the change is this, that now anyone can become a member of God's household by faith in Jesus Christ. And that it's open now to Gentiles. It's open to anyone from any nation, any tribe, any language. And so what he's saying here in verse 7, not all are Israel, which are of Israel, is that there are Jews who are not members of God's household, because they have not placed their faith in Jesus Christ. And so though ethnically they may be of the stock of Israel, they are not necessarily members of God's household. And so we have Jew and Gentile who are now invited and freely invited to be a member of God's household through faith in Jesus Christ. We will talk about this more in the next day or two, as we get into Romans chapter 10 and Romans chapter 11. Have a blessed day, and we'll see you tomorrow. Shalom.